Welcome. This is How to Go Pro with Your Passion When You Can't Quit Your Job. And this is the part of the series on how to find what you want to be when you grow up without having to quit your job. So let me start with a question. So how many of you all on the phone have ever thought about doing a really different job than you know now or jumping to something really different? If you have, say yes.
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 Yeah. So somebody tell me what you thought about when you were thinking about doing something different or how far you got with the thinking or the doing of that.
Okay, I'll jump in. This is Olivia.
Okay.
Okay. I was with the Quaker Oats Company in Bell and was displaced. And
okay.
I made a decision that I wanted to sell something where I, when I delivered it, the people were happy and were having fun. And
okay.
From there, I created a career in sports administration. So it was a huge leap.
Yeah. So you kind of got the chance to do it because you kind of got pushed a little bit, right? Or you got the...
Well, yeah, so it's not really, but... Mm-hmm.
No, but I got it.
Yeah. I didn't take the safe route. I had a lot of, my network was not in sports. So it was a whole new horizon for me.
Yeah. Anybody else thought about doing something different?
Well, this is Elizabeth. I've done kind of marketing here and there and writing throughout my career, but I would really like just to have my own business doing it because in previous jobs when I've worked for actual companies, there's so much, like everyone has their own opinion within your organization itself about what changes should be made and everything, and by the time you get it back to the client, it looks nothing like you originally wanted. So I would like just to work closely, just like me, one-on-one with the clients. And just do the fun parts that I like doing.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
And
I can
work out of my home, too.
Yeah. Well, so we'll talk about tonight about some ideas on how you might do that. And so the title tonight I picked on purpose for this, How to Go Pro. One of the things I wanted to talk about first is what's the difference between somebody who's a professional and somebody who's an amateur? What do you guys think about when you think of those two things?
Well, I think about experience and education.
Yeah.
As far as that.
Sort of level of skill. And,
right.
Okay. Anybody else?
I would obviously agree with that comment as well, but also not that it makes you a professional, but it helps to actually get paid something.
Right.
Because it really does validate you personally and professionally. When you actually get a check, your first check, it's a wonderful thing for actually doing the very thing that you're quote-unquote a pro in.
Right. That's really good. Yeah, I think when we think about athletes, for sure we think about there are rules, right? When you get paid, you're a pro and you can't go to the Olympics and that kind of thing. So, well, a lot of people think that they have to quit their jobs to go pro in something or something that they really like to do. And I've found that kind of thinking is actually wrong. And that, in fact, I'd say if that were the case, I think nobody would ever make a really big change. Except for like Olivia's situation, a lot of people get the opportunity, if you call it that, when you get when something dramatic happens in your life, like a layoff or something. But you know, to leave a job where you're basically happy and do something different, it would be really a lot of people get held back from that, taking that step. So we want to talk about how you can go pro without having to make the jump right away or have to get laid off. So I used to think that I used to think about professionals too, and the only way you could really do that was that I'd have to have like lots of new skills. Like y'all talked about education and experience, and it would take a lot of time. And when you're unhappy and you want to do something different, you don't really want it to take forever. And so we're going to talk about that tonight too, how you can get started. And when I think about having to take all that skills to quit my job and take classes and all of that, it just really doesn't sound very fun to me. So I had this picture in my head about the guy, Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid, making Ralph Macchio wax his car. And did you guys see that movie? Or do you remember that? Why he was asking him to wax the car? What he was doing when he did that?
Oh, it's something about eye and hand coordination, wasn't it, Alan?
Yeah, exactly. So he did it because the kid wanted to go and jump right in the ring and do karate, but Mr. Miyagi knew he wasn't really ready yet and that he would get beaten up pretty badly. So Mr. Miyagi kind of tricked the Karate Kid into learning these skills he needed by making him do chores and stuff. So that's one way to go pro without quitting a job, but I don't think that sounds fun either. So what I've discovered through my own experiences and then through the interviews I've done with a lot of other people who have found meaningful work kind of in the later part of their life is that you've got to have fun when you want to learn something new. That if you can find something fun to do that you're motivated to do and that you just enjoy and you do it, that's you're much more likely to follow through. So in other words, you want to be able to do something that you're enjoying while you do it instead of doing stuff like going to school or working for a long time to kind of pay your dues so that you might get some goal later on, which I think is the more – that's what we think about when we think about moving into something new. It's like, well, you know, you've got to work your way up to that. So tonight we're going to forget having to get certified or going back to school, and we're not going to put off the fun parts either. And so we're going to learn about how to go pro right away by setting up a special kind of project that I call the Cool Project. And it's going to give you a way that you can start to experience your dream work right now without having to wait and without having to give up all of your income. So that's tonight what we're going to talk about. So I sent you all an outline of tonight's class. Did y'all get that email from me probably about an hour and a half ago?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can follow along on there if you want to. We're in section one right now. And so what we're going to do is, the first thing we're going to do is review how what we're talking about tonight, this idea of the Cool Project and going pro, how that fits into this bigger picture of you moving to work that's really, that you're passionate about, that you feel like is your calling. I'm going to tell you some stories about some examples of these cool projects to help you see kind of what's possible and what they look like. And then I'm going to tell you sort of how-to of how to set these up. And then I'd like to go around and for each one of you, let's come up with a cool project that you can do so we can figure out how you could do something that's meaningful to you. So hopefully by the end of the night, you'll have your own cool project and you'll kind of be on your way towards going pro. So just a few logistics before we really dive in. And first is, y'all are doing great. Just jump in, ask questions, make comments at any time. If you are curious about something or just think you have something to say, that's great. That makes it better for everybody. I am recording the call, so just use your first name and please introduce yourself whenever you make a comment so we know who we're talking to. And then if you want to mute yourself, you can use *6 and just do *6 again if you want to unmute. And then y'all all know I'm recording the call, and I will send that out to you with a summer email probably tomorrow morning so that you'll have that. And I'll send you the links to the older calls, too, if you have that. Okay, well, let's go around. Let me have you introduce yourselves. If you just share your first name, and tonight, just tell us one thing that's been on your mind this week relative to your work or what's going on. So, Elizabeth, you want to go first?
Sure. This week, past week, what's been on my mind is kind of more, I actually went through every job I've done and went through and wrote down what I liked and didn't like about it. And it kind of made me think about what I really want to focus on, and it really helped me a lot. So I've been thinking about that.
Okay, that's great. What'd you learn? Any one thing you learned that stuck out?
Yeah, I realized that I really enjoy doing marketing work more than other types of things that I've done.
Well, that's good if you want to have your own business.
Yeah, exactly.
Virginia can tell you that's very important.
Yes, and I'm here to help too.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, Regina, how about you introduce yourself and tell us what's on your mind this week?
Well, promise you won't laugh.
Okay.
Okay. Well, for a client I've got, make a long story short, I'm redoing their website. So I'm kind of chuckling as Elizabeth is talking about, you know, all the changes that they want to make, and then it doesn't turn anything helped of anything that you started with. It's like, that's so true. But I guess the thing that the GoPro might apply to me in this instance is I'm having to learn Joomla. So I'm thinking, boy, do I really want to do this? Can I do this? Do I have the time to do this? And then I started thinking that that's how I kind of got into the graphics side of it, since I'm a product marketer by what I was trained as a quote-unquote pro in. I've now become another pro in graphic design. And so I'm thinking, is this going to be another GoPro idea for me? Because I have enough knowledge about scripting language to be dangerous to myself and possibly others. So I need your help.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Lacey, what's going on with you?
This is Lacey. Well, I'm currently unemployed, but I guess what's been going on in my mind this week is that I do have a job interview tomorrow. And so I've been thinking about that, and it's an interview and something in what I'm experienced in, but not sure I want to go back into it. So,
okay.
That's it.
Okay. That's good news, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, Olivia. Did we lose Olivia?
Hi, this is
Oh, there you are. Okay,
this is
great.
Olivia. And this is my last week as a working employee for Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. So, my mind has been on wrapping things up at the company and experiencing a lot of impatience and just trying to keep it from going to anxiety. I'm just ready to get things wrapped up and start creating my new life.
Yeah, okay. So you're at a big transition point, too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's great. That's helpful to know where everybody is tonight. So well, let's talk about, that's a good segue into talking about how do you find work that can be really meaningful to you. So have you ever wondered how there are these people, some people you hear about or you meet, and they found really cool work that's just a perfect fit for them. I always wondered about that, and I was always interested in people like that, I guess. So I started interviewing them for this avocationist blog that I run. And what I found out when I started talking to several of these people and thinking about how their careers have progressed and how they ended up where they were is that I'd really been kind of doing it all wrong in trying to find a dream job for myself. And I discovered that if you follow the kind of quote-unquote rules that we learn, even from school on through traditional kinds of career paths, that those kind of unspoken rules really make it hard for you, difficult for you to make a meaningful change in your work. And this is kind of the, you know, work is called work for a reason mindset, you know, where, you know, work is supposed to be hard. We're kind of taught that, you know, you focus on your goals. Don't worry so much about what you feel like right now. It's more important to look ahead. And so we really get taught not to think so much about whether we're enjoying what we're doing along the way. And it turns out that that's backwards. So we'll talk a little bit about what people do. And what I found is that it's actually really simple to find your meaningful work, but it does take a different way of thinking about careers, and you need to learn a few tricks. And so that's one of the things we're talking about tonight. So, you know, who are these people that I talk to? Well, one great example, and this is number two on your outline, is a guy named Ed Cushions. And Ed's a great guy. He, all of his career, he ran a metal recycling business in Los Angeles, just a small company that he grew from a really small company that was his dad's, but he bought his dad out. Well, now he runs this website called homeexchange.com, and he lives all over the world for basically free. And Home Exchange is like, well, I'll talk more about that in a minute. So how does it happen? How does a guy go from running a metal recycling business to being the head of this kind of cool .com company that where he can go around the world and talk about this idea of home exchanging. So you might think, well, is he some kind of big risk taker or brilliant entrepreneur? Really, no. When he started the home exchange, he was a divorced guy with two teenagers and the responsibility for running this business that he was in charge of. So what happened to Ed, this is an example of how what I found is how the people move into meaningful careers. Instead of having some goal or just jumping off a cliff or having to feel like they take a big risk, it starts more subtly than that, I guess. And so what happened in Ed's case was that this was back before the internet, and try to project yourself back that far if you're not too young to remember back that far, and think about how difficult it was to find information. Like, you had to look in the newspaper or you had to go to the library and get them to help you do research. And what happened to Ed was he had heard about this idea of home exchange. And what a home exchange is basically you arrange with a person who lives in another city to live in each other's house for a week for a vacation. And so you both have a free place to stay that's a nice house instead of staying in a small, hotel room or something. And so Ed had heard about this, and he thought, that's a great idea. Ed lived on the beach, and he wanted to go out to Washington, D.C., and he was taking his kids, and he didn't really want to stay in a small hotel room. So he'd heard about this home exchange idea, but he couldn't find it anywhere. And so he ended up having to go through somebody at the L.A. Times who looked it up for him. And anyway, long story short, he did it, and they went to D.C., and he just loved it. He totally loved it. He was completely sold on the idea. And so what he did was when he came back, he had done the home exchange. He liked it so much that he said, these people who are running this are doing a terrible job of marketing this, and this is way more important. So he set up really what I call a cool project. He said, look, I'm good at marketing. I like marketing, and I love this idea of what you have. Let me work with you to do the marketing for your company to help you get bigger. And so from that started a whole chain of things that I'll talk more about in a little bit. But if you start where he is now and go backwards, everything started from that one little step he took to do this kind of cool project that he did on the side of work while he was still doing his job. Hey, Dale, I'll just pause. Did somebody just join in?
Rachel, hi.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Glad to have you with us.
Thanks.
So let's talk about Ed's story here. So what did Ed do differently than most of us think that we're supposed to do, or at least what I think of as a traditional way to do? So what he did was Ed took action, and he found things he loved by actually experiencing them. So he didn't, he had heard about home exchange, and that was okay, but it wasn't. But he actually went out and tried it, and through the trying it, that's where he really figured out that, hey, this is something that is really neat and something I really kind of believe in. It became a passion for him. The second thing was he didn't wait to quit his job to start getting involved. He was still running his business, but he just thought it would be great to go do a project where he could help this other company. And then the third thing was that Ed found a way to use something he already knew and enjoyed doing, the marketing, and he kind of put that together with this new thing that he loves to start this cool project with this other company. And so that's those themes of taking action and going ahead and starting something before you quit your day job, and then taking things from different parts of your life and putting them together into something that you're really excited about. Those were common with a lot of these people that I talked to. And so tonight we're going to – the last few weeks we've been kind of working on kind of what are you passionate about, or what are some clues to what that might be for you. And we've been talking a lot about how do you do little experiments so you can actually act and take action. So tonight's kind of the third piece, which is how do we take that and then turn it into something a little more meaty so you can start going a little deeper on some of the areas that you really, really like. So that's tonight. But I also wanted to point out about Ed's story some things that he didn't do. So first, Ed didn't do some deep analysis of his skills and interests. In other words, he didn't just sit around for a long time and think about what he ought to do. He tried it. The second thing, he didn't sit down and write a 5-year master plan like a lot of people would tell us to do, that we have to know where we're going and we have to start there and work backwards. He just kind of started. And then the last thing was he didn't start with some ginormous project that he wanted to do. He just approached this company to see if he could help. So it was something that was very manageable in the rest of his life. So we're going to talk tonight about how to work on finding the equivalent of Ed's marketing project for each of you, and using your particular interests and something that you would really be excited about. So two things I want to remember from last week, and for Olivia and Lacey, this will be new for you, but I'm happy to talk more about it now if we want to. One is we talked about keeping something I call a someday list. And a someday list is just a list of anything you're interested in. And it could be anything from a dream job you've had, or a new hobby you wanted to pick up, or that you've always wanted to go to Spain, or whatever it can be. It doesn't matter. All that matters is it grabbed your attention. And then the other thing we talked about was something I called the fun scale. And the fun scale is basically, it's just a completely subjective reference that you have for yourself, that after you try something, you can just grade it on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is, I think I said, maybe like dental surgery without anesthesia, and 10 is complete ecstasy. So, and the idea is that after you try something, you can just go with your gut. And if something's below a 7, you can kind of blow it off. Or if you didn't like it, you can let it go, and then you don't have to try that again. You can just accept for now that that's probably not part of what you want to do with your life. But if it's something that's really high on that scale, then you need to keep that on your list and do some more things to explore that in more detail. So we're going to use those concepts tonight. So, and Elizabeth or Regina, you guys want to talk about any more of that? Did I describe that like you remember it? Or do you remember anything different from last week?
No, that sounds right on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, for you new guys, does that make sense? You're at least following that basic idea? You can ask more later.
No, I follow it.
Okay. Okay, so the other thing that was important that we talked about last week was that when we're doing – we talked about these little experiments that you can do to try something out really quickly. And it's really important to take a step to before you try something that you think you're going to like, write down what you think you're going to like about it before you do, even just on a scrap of paper. And then afterwards, write down how it really was. Because last week I talked about a story of this study they did on speed daters, where they found that people actually change what they thought they said they liked in people to match the people that they really liked. And so we have a tendency in our head to be like these speed daters and change our minds. So that's an important part to note too. So with that as a backdrop, let's talk about the cool project and what that is. So let me give you an example of what a cool project was for me. So I had been doing, this was, 4 or 5 years ago, I'd been doing photography, and I had even like pulled together a little nice little book of some of my best photos, and I'd gotten up the nerve to go talk to a professional photographer who lived in my neighborhood and get some feedback, and he liked them. You know, I was really nervous when I talked to him. And so if you had talked to me then, I hadn't come up with this idea of a someday list yet. But if I had one, photography was definitely on my list, and it was something that I was doing little experiments with and trying and learning more. And so because it was on my list and I was thinking about it, I heard about this opportunity to join a group of people that was forming that was called a portfolio group. And we were going to meet once a week, I think, for 12 weeks, and we were going to build a portfolio. So everybody had a project that they were working on. So this was really the kind of first one of these formalized cool project things that I did. And so what I picked was I like to take pictures of people, and so I picked people at work, and I thought it would be a chance to meet people and take their pictures. And if you people who were on the call last week, that might sound familiar to the experiment I did last week, I realized as I was thinking about this week. So what happened when I started doing that? So, well, we started meeting, and we had a guy running the group who was a professional, and he was kind of our mentor for this. And so I had my project, and I thought, I'm going to go out, I'm going to take these great pictures, they're going to look really good. So I set up my first shoot, and I picked somebody at work that I worked with, and I had her in a boardroom, and I was taking pictures of her. And when I went back to take my pictures back, it turned out that they were terrible. They weren't anywhere as good as the best were. And what I realized is that I had when I pull that portfolio together, I've been mostly just picking good photos that I sort of happened to take when I was taking shots or taking a roll of film or something. But I'd never really tried to think about setting up a photo shoot with a clear picture in my head of what I wanted that photo to look like afterwards. So what I'd done was I had been kind of an amateur and maybe a good amateur, but I hadn't really gone pro. And what this project was forcing me to do was to really think like a professional photographer and go through everything they did. So I kept at it. I got better. One day after work, I went downtown and I took some portraits of a bicycle cop downtown. And one day I got up really early in the morning and met a teacher at school and took their picture in their classroom. And on a business trip I was on, I took a picture of a scientist in front of a booth at a trade show. And then I took pictures of my kids on the weekends doing their favorite work, their hobbies. So this was like an ongoing project for a while. And I didn't do it all in a week or, you know, it was every couple of weeks or when I could work it in. But it was something I worked on for several months. And so I got better. And by the end, I had learned about I'd sort of been forced to learn about lighting. I had to learn some Photoshop, which is a computer program for doing touching up photos. I'd learned how to manage and set up a photo shoot so you get what you want, and then how to work with your models while you're doing that. And I'd even learn about legal stuff like model release forms. And really, and then from talking to my group, I'd really learn what it's like to be a working photographer. And so after that, I started actually getting paid for some photography. I donated photo shoots and started doing some stuff, just again, more not my real job, but in essence, I was doing everything that a professional photographer would do, and I really got to feel what that felt like. So that was my first kind of cool project that I did. A different kind of project. There's a woman who lives in Charlotte here, and her name is Molly Barker. And Molly was a runner growing up, and she remembered that when she was 15, she said she found herself stuck in the what she calls the girl box. And she said that at that age, you know, only girls who were a certain size and beauty were popular, and so anybody else who wanted to be popular felt like they had to lose weight and fit into that requirements of that girl box she did. And that impacted her growing up. So years later, she was on a long run and had this idea to start a group for girls where she could use her counseling background and then her personal recovery from alcoholism and to kind of work with these girls and start a club where they would run, but she could also teach them about some of these body issues and just issues of being a woman and growing up. So she started this project, and the first week it was just 13 people at a private school here. But the next week, 26 girls came, and then 75, and it just kept growing. And then in 1998, Runner's World Magazine gave her the Golden Shoe Award for contributions to the community. And it's now this program that's called Girls on the Run. And as a result of that Runner's World article, there were people from all over the U.S. and Canada who wanted to start these programs, and now they're in 120 cities across the country. So that's a project that really took off, kind of like Ed Cushing's project took off. And, you know, I think my tendency and a lot of us, when we hear these stories, we think about where they ended up. But I really want to think tonight about where it all started. And, you know, hers was just a cool idea she had for something she was excited about that combined, you know, stuff she already knew how to do with something that really pulled her that she wanted to do. And she committed to those girls and she put it together and did this project. And the Runner's World and all that is just, it was a good idea and she was passionate about it and it was the right person and it took off. And that happens. We don't always control that part, but the project part, that we can do. So one important thing to remember, just like with Ed and the marketing and me with the photography and Molly with the running and then also helping girls with the problem she dealt with, the fun for all of these was on the way. So they were their own reward. I mean, they wanted to do those things. We had fun while we were doing it. The payoff at the end is kind of a bonus if that happens, but that's not really the purpose when we're doing this. So We're doing things that are high on that fun scale. And for me, I know I can say personally, if you had told me that I had to sit down and learn all those different things I learned when I was doing the photography, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, that would have been like going to school or something. But when I took a picture and I looked at the example I was trying to copy from a famous photographer and it looked crappy relative to that, I was motivated to go figure out why. And so I got help. And because I was having fun doing the photography and I was trying to accomplish something, I was motivated to learn whatever I had to learn just to do that. And so it was like doing the waxing of the car of the Karate Kid without having to get tricked into doing it, because I was getting to do the sort of the equivalent of the karate at the same time that I was waxing the car. If you get that. So do you guys follow where I'm going with this? The kind of idea, at least, of this getting started. Does that sound?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, let's talk about. I'm going to move on to, I guess, part three here tonight, and let's talk about how you can set up your own cool project. And so how do you start? Like I said at the beginning, you really want to take a look. It really doesn't matter what you picked, but for this project, I want you to pick something that is something you're pretty excited about, and something that you've tried out and you've kind of know that it would be maybe a 9 on your fun scale or an 8. So then you can start from that and just ask, okay, what could I do with this that I could sort of turn into something longer term? What could I do bigger with that? And it could be, it doesn't have to be something that you kind of invent, like Molly coming up with a whole new idea. I mean, it could be maybe building a car from parts, or like a computer from parts you buy at Radio Shack. It could be doing something somebody else has done before. It doesn't have to be all new, but it has to be something new to you that kind of stretches your abilities in this area. And I would encourage you to do like the best artists do. They steal ideas from other people. So if you can't think of anything, you can do research to see, pick an area you're interested in, you can do research. We could talk about that. You could pick something you like, a volunteer activity, you know, a painting you want to copy, a chair you want to build, and then just try to copy it. And you'll learn a lot about yourself in the process of that, and you'll stretch your abilities. And you'll start to see what we can do. And actually, my blog, avocationist.com, started out as a cool project. And I got the idea from a photography blogger. He told me about what he had done with his site. And so I basically took his idea and then kind of added in the fact that I really like to meet new people, and that this would give me a kind of a platform to go out and interview people. And the site started as a way for me to interview these people who had found meaningful work and to tell their stories. And that led to another thing that led to another thing. And now we're here talking to them on the phone, which I wouldn't have done if I hadn't started doing that. Okay. So some ideas I had to do research. Blogs are good. Online groups are good. Go to the library and look for books on your subject. Go to Barnes & Noble and look at magazines. You could also think about who do you admire professionally who already does something that you're interested in, and what have they done that you would like to do. So in a minute we're going to talk about ones for you. And so we think here are the sort of guidelines to make this be real effective for you. So the first one is that you have to actually do something. So it can't be just reading about something you like or listening to a class on it or taking a class, with the exception, I guess, it's okay to take a class if they make you do a big project. That would count, I guess, towards this. So just like Ed going and trying the home exchange and then actually doing this marketing project, that's doing something. So the second thing is you have to be really excited about it. So it should be something that when you think about it, you're like, oh, really, when I go work on this, it should be very attractive to you. Third thing is then the same rules apply as for these smaller fun experiments we talk about. So if, you know, you want to write down kind of what you think now about what you're going to like, especially something like this, because you'll forget kind of how far you've come and what you thought you were going to like. And that'll be important later on when we talk about how to analyze what you want to do next. And then the last thing is the difference between this cool project and these little fun experiments we talked about is that the cool project, well, I guess the fun experiment, it doesn't, we have this list of things we might want to try, and a lot of times those come about sort of spontaneously. You'll just get an opportunity that somebody will say, hey, come with me to do X, and X is something you've wanted to try. Unlike that, with this cool project, I really want you to intentionally plan out something you're going to do so that you can get the sense of really being a pro and learning a lot. Kind of, it'll force you to go deeper on these things that you don't know. So it's okay to have the idea come spontaneously, just like I found that group of photographers. But then you need to plan out kind of what are you going to do, and it'll take longer than these other ones. This will be something you work on for a while. So, and you're working towards some particular goal. So let me stop before we do any more, and let me ask kind of like, what are you guys, do you guys have any ideas of stuff you'd like to try already or something that comes to your mind that would be fun?
Well, I think I'm going to pursue the Joomla thing.
Okay.
For me, not that I'm thinking about being a web designer or anything.
Yeah.
It does help what I used to do or what I would do with a client has a website thing because that's its own thing, as you well know. Constantly changing. I usually vendor the pieces out that I don't do personally, but I have to interface with those folks and with the users to find out, you know, what their needs are and to match them up with how that's going to translate into the technology that they want. So I have a basic, you know, knowledge of what's going on, but not the actual using of the scripting language. So, you know, I think it'll be exciting in the fact that it is something new, and I've already had some success in the past by doing that thing, and it's grown my business and my product offering, and I've been able to keep more of my margin to myself versus giving it away, which as
right.
a marketer is exciting in itself. But it's scary, you know, because I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's a lot to bite off, and, you know, do I have the time with everything else? And
yeah, so
you know.
Talk about what are the sort of stumbling blocks you see already? So that's one, the time.
Yeah, time is definitely probably the biggest. My personal ability, you know, is it
okay.
technical thing I can comprehend as fast as it moves.
Okay, because it changes a lot.
Yeah, and I think my quote is not quite approved yet, so when they approve it, the hammer's going to drop soon, and I may be at a point where if I don't have a little knowledge under my belt, it may be too late, and then what? You know,
right. You might just find someone else to help you out.
So that's a little unnerving is do I want to take on something new right in the middle of everything else? But I don't see that ever changing if you're you know, if you're in business on your own, you can't turn down business. So this will be a problem that I'll have to learn to deal with. And maybe that's another aspect to learning this. It's learning something while maintaining your business and all the rest. So just extreme multitasking, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Who else has something, an idea? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to commit tonight or anything. Just anything you'd be interested in.
Well, this is Rachel. I have, you know, big ideas and smaller ideas. I don't know which level of idea you want.
One that you're most excited about. How about that?
Most excited about? Well, I want to start a whole movement. You know, I want to start a I have the idea, like, I used to be a loser movement where people find that they're pretty remarkable. I mean, you know, I want to change the world.
Okay.
Something small like that. but I also want to do a radio show. I mean, which direction do you want me to go?
It doesn't really matter. You can radio show would probably be more tangible because one of the things you need to be able to set some kind of goal so you know when you've done it. You know, something to work towards that okay, I can accomplish this.
Well, you know, I could change the world with a radio show, couldn't I?
You sure could. Yeah, that could
be
the subject of it, right? You can interview people who are losers or used to be losers.
That's right.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's cool. So what are some of the things that when you think about that, you're like, okay, this is going to be a problem?
The thing that does not sound exciting about the radio show is just learning the technical. Even if I do like an online radio show, I've noticed my resistance in learning like Blog Talk Radio or something, because I just, you know, I don't want to learn it. I want to do it. I want to leap in. I don't want to figure out how to program something.
Okay, right, okay. You just want to like get on a mic and start doing your show or planning a show or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Who else? I'm going to make you all go at some point, so.
This is Elizabeth. I guess I'll go.
Okay.
I'm real excited about starting my own business because it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yep.
And kind of like the only thing that kind of freaks me out is like the getting the clients part. I mean,
yeah,
I have done
okay.
some cold calling in the past, and I've been successful. So it's just kind of a matter of, you know, getting warmed up to that again.
Okay. Well, think about what would be the subject of your business, or what would you be doing?
I don't know. I mean, I like to do a lot of variety of things. I mean, mostly like design, like brochures and things like that, like marketing collateral. And I also love to do writing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
you talk about the writing a lot. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Copywriting. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So one thing is, might be doing a marketing campaign with all the collateral and copy for something.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Okay. So, Elizabeth, what kind of things are, when you think about that, what starts to pop in your head about, oh, this is going to be a problem?
I guess because my whole career, I've always worked for someone else.
Okay.
And so it'll be new running my own business, but I've been on some, like, freelance writing lists for a few years, too, so I kind of, you know, understand the ins and outs, like, of, you know, keeping track of everything and all that type of stuff. But, like, the actual doing it part, you know, like invoicing and, you know, all the financial part of it.
Okay.
Because I've not really dealt much with that before.
Okay. All right. Who wants to go next? Or I will call on you. Who's next? Who's that?
This is Lacey. I think
hey,
I'm
Lacey.
The one that's left. And I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer to your question.
That's okay. Well, so what do you like to do? What are you interested in? We can start with that.
Well, you know, I like to do a lot of things. I don't know how they would apply to anything. You know, I like cooking, but don't want to be a chef.
Okay.
You know, I really don't know how to.
That's okay. Cooking is a good one. We can use that as an example tonight.
Okay.
That's fine. You can, because I really just want you to learn the kind of the process and the technique more than that you have to really have the final thing.
Okay.
So, Olivia, how about you?
Sorry for the pause. My line is muted.
No, that's all right.
That's why there's the pause. I'm still stuck.
Okay.
You know, I know what I have an interest in, but just can't see any vision towards making it into any kind of profitable career.
Well, what are you interested
in? I'm stuck. Physical well-being, nutritional well-being.
Okay.
So there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of personal trainers out there. You know,
okay.
There are a lot of nutritionists. I don't see myself doing either one of those. But really, with the exception of, you know, spending time with my friends and just being kind of laid back, what I have intention around outside of work would be definitely around the exercise. I mean, I see my next job is not going to be sitting down for 40 to 60 hours a week in a cubicle. Absolutely.
Okay.
So
right.
At least I'm there. I know that. And that's it.
Okay, that's cool. We'll go with that. That's physical well-being issue for me. That's good. That's really good. So, okay, so so we've all got something we can start with, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. I'll come back to you guys. So let me tell you again why. What are some of the benefits that you get out of doing these projects like this that take you a little further? One thing is that they'll start to bring you in contact with other people who are involved in that kind of thing. So, like, Rachel's going to have to go out and find somebody to set up her radio show because she doesn't really want to do that, right, if she really wants to do this show that she wants to do. And it'll force you to really stretch your abilities beyond where you are today. You're going to learn new things. You're going to pick up new things. And you're going to learn a lot about yourself, too, because inevitably, whenever you really set down to do something, there's part of it that will be the sort of resistance that you'll get whenever you want to do something important. There's some fear that comes up for sure. But and so we've all got that, and we'll learn about what that looks like for us. But more importantly, I think you're going to learn really about what pieces of these things you're thinking about are the ones that really resonate with you, and what do you really like. And the big picture for how I would love to help all you guys is that I know each one of you has a kind of core of what you're here for or what you're born to do. There's a core, and it's real specific, but it's really hard. We don't get a clear picture of that because it's not something that's logical in our brains. It's something that's intuitive. We kind of feel whenever we're doing something we like. And so all of these things I'm trying to teach you are different ways to look at yourself. And what will start to happen is as you try things and you kind of note down what you felt and what worked well, and especially as you try some of these little experiments, you can do that pretty quick and try a lot of things. You'll start to see patterns, and you'll start to get connections between things. So, like for me, when I did photography, I think I may have told you all this before, but when I did the photography, what I realized was I really didn't like doing those pictures I was doing of people at work. The pictures I really liked were ones that were more just regular portraits of people, but ones that got their personality, where I felt like if you looked at that picture and you didn't know that person and then you met that person, you would go, oh, that picture was just like what they're like, you know. And that's a lot like what I'm trying to help you guys with, is how do you find what's unique about you and show that. So there's a crossover between those two hobbies that I never would have seen until I started trying things. So that's what we're doing here. So all these things you're doing, they'll let you do that. They'll test your boundaries, too. You'll start to find out kind of where you really are. If you want to do this as a career, what do you have to learn, and what's the gap to where you need to go, and how you might close it, and how you might, like, skip around it and not have to do it the regular way. So every one of these steps is going to help with that. So the other thing you'll learn is how to get help when you need it, because the other thing when you start going off on your own is you have to build a new set of friends and a new set of colleagues that are different than the work you've been in, and maybe different than your family too, if they don't really understand what you're all about, which is okay. You still keep your family, but you've got this other group of friends too. And actually, next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about finding groups of people like that. How do you find them, and how do you start to develop really supporters of you in your new area? So, but for now, you can do stuff like go on YouTube. You can find out a video of just about literally anything you wanted to learn how to do. Somebody's out there is filming themselves doing it. It's a great place. For these projects, you could buy a book that tells you step-by-step how to do something. That's legit. And then you could join in with other people. You could find them on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere else, or somebody else who's doing something you like to do, or maybe somebody who runs a blog doing what you want to do. So those are what you're going to get out of doing this, and why this is a useful exercise. Because, you know, you might out of the gates hit a home run like Molly did or Ed did and end up with your dream job that sprouts right out of this little project you need to do, or you might be like me and you find out that photography is a good hobby, and that's cool. I can check it off my list and keep going with some other things that I do, and like starting the website, which did take off for me. Okay, so now I want to talk about each one of you, and just to, this is a more of a it's less important that we figure out the perfect thing for you guys right now than it is that you start to see how you do this for yourself. So that's really the purpose of what we're going to do. And if any of y'all aren't comfortable with me doing this for you, that's fine too. And I'm happy to chat on email later on if you want some more help. So does anybody want to be the first guinea pig to go, and we'll work on how you could set something up?
If everybody's shy, I'll go. This is Rachel.
Yeah, cool. All right, I was going to call you anyway. I like yours. Okay, let's talk about, okay, can we do the radio show?
I think the radio show makes a lot more sense than, like, world peace right now, yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay. Well, world peace is okay, too, but you'd have to, like, define what, how you'd know you were done. You know, I think that might be hard. Outside of the scope of this call tonight.
There's
right,
my
so,
beauty pageant answer or whatever. I'd like
right,
world
right.
peace. No.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so let's talk about a radio show. So, all right, so what would be sort of your goal for the radio show? Who do you want to reach with?
I want to reach the woman who just recently, the woman on this call that just said, I don't know, I kind of like cooking, I'm not sure, or I'm not sure what my goal is. I'm not saying loser. I shouldn't have ever used that word because now you're going to think that's what I'm thinking. No, I'm excited. I'm so excited about helping people kind of tap out that little, you know, like that little sprig of kind of like this, because I mean, kind of like you, Alan. I love kind of like helping to water those curiosities. And that's what the radio show would be about. I'd love it to be like a call-in show where we kind of eked out that stuff or kind of address certain topics related to finding, using what I would use a lot of times is the creative process, the process that artists use to create things, the same process I would have people use to create interesting lives.
Okay.
And lives that are fun. Mm-hmm.
That sounds great. Okay, so you're picturing a show where somebody would call in and they would they'd ask you questions and you would be on the fly kind of answering them, helping them out, right?
On the fly would be, you know, it's like candy to me. Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's think about how you might do that. So you mentioned, what did you say, Podpress or something? Podcast?
I'm sorry?
You mentioned one specific platform for doing it.
Oh yeah, Blog Talk Radio is probably where I'll try this first because it starts off as free. It's an online service where you can basically, I don't know how to do it because of course I don't like the mechanics of trying to figure it out, so I haven't done it.
Yeah,
but it's supposed to be pretty easy.
Okay, so what you need is so it sounds like you really want to try to recruit somebody who knows how to do it already to help you. Sort of be your producer on the show? So that
that would be delicious. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I know somebody who knows how to do that, and so do you. He lives in Greece.
Oh, Matthew.
Yeah, he does it for Barbara.
Oh, I bet you he would do that for me.
Yeah, and then and then what you do is you need to just, you probably, I mean, it takes a long time probably to build an audience, but you could have people who agree to call in and answer questions, so you could set it up ahead of time with friends or whatever. That would let you work out your kinks.
Right. And I think, because I like doing teleclasses. I've done teleclasses, and they're fun. But I love the interaction with an individual so much that I just think it seems like if you're looking for something that sounds like fun, that sounds like fun. Now, the other stumbling block is I don't know how I actually would make money at this right away. You know, it would be one of those things that like I'd have to do it and figure that out later.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess I should have said that my part of going pro, and at least initially, is to do all the things a professional does. Because when you start doing that, if you do them well, you're going to find a way to get paid. But if you try to get paid out of the gates, and it's something you've never done before, that's hard, but that doesn't mean you can't try it, right? And you might find out that you don't like the whole thing and you like one part of it. You might find out that you love being a radio host and the local PBS station needs somebody to go do that or something. You know what I mean? It could turn into something else. So don't worry about the money part yet. You know,
right.
The most important thing is that you set up a little project here, which it sounds like you've got, which is to set up a radio show and get maybe Matthew or somebody. I'm sure if you tweeted too, you could probably find somebody who'd be willing to do that. Or go to
talk me through it, you know, because every time I go to look online, I've done it like almost every day, go to Blog Talk Radio to try to figure it out. And about 5 minutes after being there, I just like, you know, all my energy is gone. It's just like,
right.
I hate kind of thing.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah, don't do the parts you don't like. I mean, that's the thing, right? We want to stick with the fun parts. We don't want to be waxing cars like the Karate Kid. We want to be fighting or whatever.
That's right. That's right.
All right, so does that feel pretty good, at least for a starting point?
Yeah, so find, you're saying that the thing that I should do that is find somebody that can at least, that knows Blog Talk Radio and can talk me through the basics.
Yeah.
If not then, even do it.
Right, exactly. If they're not, even if they can't do it real time. But if they could, that'd be even better. Because the first thing I'm going to do is just do one show and just get me or some friends and we'll just all call in at some time and you'll just do the show. You know?
And what was the woman's name that likes cooking?
Lacey.
Yeah.
Lacey will call in, right, Lacey?
Right.
I got a caller. Cool, I'm happy.
Okay, cool. So who wants to go next? How about Elizabeth? You want to talk about a project for you?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about maybe something that you would do for a client, like related to marketing collateral and copy and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any particular areas that you're interested in?
Well, I've always been interested in, like, cool things like spaceships and shuttle, you know, like anything like NASA-related. I, like, always love that kind of stuff. Anything science-related, and I also love anything ocean-related, like sea creatures and underwater. Actually, you know what? Underwater exploratory, like those underwater robotic things. I always thought those were really cool.
Okay, well, how about, like, so here's some ideas. Maybe when I was a kid, I had a G.I. Joe with a submarine thing that would go underwater. So I'm thinking toys, like, what if you made a thing for a toy? Or it could be, like, a technical thing, too. Like, maybe you're doing it for whatever. What sounds fun, that kind of thing that you could
develop?
Yeah,
the toy thing sounds cool.
Okay.
I like that.
Well,
that's exciting for me.
Yeah, so maybe, and you like, I don't know, you like three-dimensional things and objects and that kind of thing. Maybe you could... So one idea you could start with is just go to, like, I think you just go online or go to Toys R Us or something and just see something that you think is cool. And if it's cheap, just buy one and then come up with a different campaign and maybe a little simple website for it. And
that's an awesome idea. I love
that. What's the website that we use sometimes, Rachel? What's that thing called that Barbara likes? Or you can build your own website.
I'm sorry, I was muted. With the website that...
Where you can build your own website for free, and they host it. And
Weebly,
that's it. I'll send the link out to you guys.
Yeah, it's an easy way to get a website up. It has its back falls, but, you know, you can get a site up pretty easily.
Actually, I have my own website, so...
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, well,
and
I've
built it up and torn it down over the years, and that's kind of... So I can do that.
Yeah. Okay. And then we can talk later on what you can do about this. Like, next week we're going to talk about part of why you're doing projects like this is because then you have stuff to bring when you start to meet other people who do these same things. And so this will get you going on that. So,
I like that.
You could start with. Okay, cool.
That's exciting. Good.
Okay. Regina.
We?
I really want you to do something that's not really directly work-related. Is there something else you like other than Joomla?
I love
going to do that anyway. You have to.
I don't know. I don't want to sound like, you know, I don't have anything I can work on, but I really am doing what I want to do.
If you're excited about that, that's cool. That's perfect then. Okay.
I mean, I love my work. I look forward to everything I do, and it's a beautiful thing.
So you've got this client who's gonna they're gonna pay you to do this project, it sounds like. Or you're almost sure they're gonna pay you.
Yes, they actually want me to train them on something that I don't even know yet. So it's, you know, it's getting so far ahead of what, you know, but I'm just trusting in myself and God and whomever else that can help me to make it happen. So
that'll kind of set the scope of what your project is. Probably what you need is more like, how do you get help or how do you learn it? Does that sound right?
I need some intravenous training, you know, But I did look at, Alan, I did, because I knew we were going to have this conversation this week, so I did look on Joomla.org, which, you know, I'm sure you know all about it, but for those who may not know that it's an open access scripting language to build websites with, that they have a vehicle and they have some tutorials. However, and forgive me, is it Elizabeth that wants to be the marketer?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're so poorly written.
Oh, really?
So I know they need your help right now.
What is the name of the software or the website again?
It's J-O-O, Jooma, J-O-O-M-L-A.
I've heard of that. Okay.
So it's
basically a software that lets you build kind of complicated websites. The software's free.
Well, they go on about it like it's, you know, like a very easy template builder kind of thing, but it's not.
Right.
So I went on to it and I was like, if it weren't for my, like you had mentioned, Photoshop and having to learn all those things, and, you know, I learned the Creative Suite for the graphic design.
Yeah.
So if it weren't for that, I'd be completely lost. But somebody that has no graphic design, no web exposure, anything, you cannot do it easily.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there are, for stuff like that, there are a lot of, like, groups out there and people who probably write about Joomla. And there may be, like, modules that you can get, because I know, like, in a lot of, like, Linux and some of these other open source things, people will write chunks of stuff that you can just take and use. So you might be able to get templates for free from somebody or buy them from somebody and then build on that instead of having to go from scratch.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think to your point, there's a jump box, too, like, which is it's an adjunct application.
Yeah.
You can go through, and I'm sure you probably know all about it as well, but, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe contacting Jumpbox and say, hey, you know, or what kind of forums they have. Instead of a straight Joomla, maybe I compare Joomla forums with Jumpbox forums, and maybe I can find an amalgam of something in between.
Yeah.
This is Elizabeth. I just looked on Facebook real quick, and there's 7,412 members on this one Joomla group on Facebook.
Ooh, cool.
That's a great idea.
they've links and everything.
The collective mind, you just can't beat it. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure, no problem. Because I was learning, I'm learning actually now a software called Blender, and it's used for like 3D modeling and animation and stuff, and it's really hard to learn, and I was really struggling finding, like, tutorials and stuff like that, too. So I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so, but it's not an AutoCAD-based programming
system? No. It's all open source, yeah.
Okay.
So one thing you could do, too, go to YouTube. I go there sometimes when I've got a software program that's kind of complicated to learn. And a lot of times people will do screen captures of them doing things. And so you might try that, too.
Oh, wonderful. Because I think about it for music, but I really don't think of it for anything else, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you can learn how to drive a car on there. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Okay, well, great. Well, thanks, guys, really.
I got
my homework. Thank you.
Yeah. So, so Lacey, let's talk about being a cooking. That's the one we talked about, right? You don't want to be a chef. So what do you just like to cook as a hobby around the house? Or?
Yes. I think the thing that I like about it is that I've never cooked before and just started to basically in the last year, and
okay, cool.
Found that I'm good at it, and I don't follow recipes, and I think that's what I think I like the creativity part.
Okay,
of it,
cool.
And then I have like a natural knack for it.
Okay,
but,
all right.
You know, I've always liked the creativity side of things. Like my major, I loved the creativity side, but didn't like a lot of other stuff. And you know, I've just never found out how to kind of pigeonhole everything into a career. Or what that career would be. So.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, so that's one thing that I talk about a lot is that you don't have to have all that figured out. And if you try to do that, that's why we get stuck, because there's probably not something that you know how to do that exists out there that would hire you right now. But a lot of times, as soon as you start trying things out, you get clear on what you really want to do, and it turns out there's a lot of ways you can do it, if that makes sense. Like, if I want to help people figure out how they're unique, I could do a lot of different ways to do that. So, so like, to set up a project with cooking, it sounds like you are the kind of person who would like to just come up with almost like, I don't know, just one idea would be like, come up with a restaurant menu for your own restaurant or something. Like, this is what I would serve, here are the appetizers, would be that, and then develop all the recipes for that or something. That would be an example of something you could do. How does that feel?
To come up with a menu for a restaurant?
Not the physical menu, but what would go on the menu. So, like, what would be, you know, if you wanted to, you could basically say, okay, or I'm having a special dinner tonight, and it's going to be a 7-course meal, and I'm going to come up with the recipes for every little piece of it, and then I'm going to cook it and serve it to somebody or something. And you might have to learn about.
Yeah, it feels good, but it feels overwhelming.
Okay. So what would be a smaller piece of that? That sounds more fun. This is the right way to think about it. If it sounds too big, then that's not the right thing.
Oh, I have something.
Okay, go ahead.
It would help me too. I think that is a great skill, Lacey, first and foremost. Because just about anybody can make something with enough time and effort if they had a recipe. But to do that, that really is amazing. If somebody gave you, like, I don't know, 5 ingredients, and you could come up with as many meals that you could make out of those 5 ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
Is that cool?
No, that actually sounds better.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Good.
Hey, you know, there's a...
forward the recipes to us.
There's a public radio program called Splendid Table. Have you ever gotten a chance to listen to that?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but she has kind of a challenge every week where somebody will give her, okay, I have, you know, capers and ice cream and pizza, what can I make for dinner? And then she kind of says, oh, okay, well, this is what you want to do.
Right.
You could do something like that, or you could even start by having some kind of challenge that you could have a blog and just say, okay, this is the things you could make, something like that.
So what you could do, too, another idea is focus on one ingredient, like, I don't know, like pomegranate or something like that, and think of some fun ways to add that to
recipes
or something. Like a blog kind of sort of thing, like, okay, this week it's raspberries or something.
Right.
Whatever that's on sale in the market. What is it about cooking and food that you really love?
What is it that I love?
Yeah, what is it about, what is kind of really specifically about cooking and food that you really love? Did I miss a piece of the conversation?
Well, I just kind of like figuring out what ingredients go into what, and I love eating it. I don't know. I guess it's just that, you know, I don't really know anything about it, and I seem to be able to figure it out as I go along. So.
Yeah. So the figuring out is the part that you like.
Right. Well, yeah, no, yes. It is.
Yeah, so you might, one thing you might try something that you, so it sounds like you try to make stuff that you've tasted before and you want to figure out how do you do that without looking at somebody else's recipe?
Right, yeah, and then, you know, kind of doing a spin on it also, so.
I have a question. Can you go to, like, a restaurant, like, eat out at a restaurant and have something delicious and you can actually go home and reproduce it, do you think?
Oh, I haven't tried that. I don't know.
You should try that.
Great idea.
Yeah, you should try that. Then you could get, like, all the favorite – you could, like, make your own website with all the recipes for the main dishes at these famous restaurants or whatever.
Yeah, bootlegged whatever, you know,
yeah,
how to
bootleg.
Make – the bootleg chef.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So Lacey, you get some ideas. I mean, you can pick anything. It doesn't have to be a really big thing. It could just do something small. But the main thing is just try something right. relative to the cooking, you know, and just see where it goes. And if it's fun, try something a little bit more or a little bit different on top of that. And you'll start to see what parts of it, like, you know, we're asking lots of different questions because we don't know what you like, and that's helping you talk about what you like. Another way to do that is trying it and just seeing what feels right, what's fun about it. Is it the figuring out, or is it shopping for the foods at the market? There's a lot of pieces of that. So,
okay.
Does that feel good? Does that feel like you got some? Okay, cool. Olivia, are you still on the call?
Okay, here I am.
Yeah, okay, you got the mute. Okay, so you were talking about nutritional and physical well-being. Like, do you like helping other people? Is that part of it too?
Yes. I think I've already gone down to like the end position as I've been listening to everybody. So I don't know what my first step would be, and I'm reluctant to commit to, but. I'll go ahead and tell you. I see a huge need in corporate America for a different way of thinking regarding how I meet my physical and nutritional goals. And, and basically what happens is executives, people that at high levels in corporate America will say that they don't have time to get in shape when actually – everything that they need to do to have physical well-being is right there in their queue, but that they have it in their mind that they need to go to a personal trainer and they need to go somewhere else. And that always seems way too much for them to do or another burden for them. And so I'm just sitting here thinking what a cool idea it would be if I created a support system, a website, that you know, you become a member of this and you learn what the little things that you can do every day that over time produce the results that you want. You feel better, you know, you increase your productivity, and it can be as simple as taking the stairs in the middle of the morning, the middle of afternoon. If you do that over a course of 12 weeks, I guarantee you, if you just do that two times a week, so four times, you know, 10 floors, most people are in a tower that's 10 or more floors, there will be a significant impact, positive impact on your physical well-being and your ability to handle stress. And so, anyway, I could go on and talk about that forever, you know, to nauseam. And then what it would allow me to do is what my fantasy job would be to have a job that was mobile. So I worked from my laptop. I can be anywhere in the world. So in this particular scenario, you know, my clients, you know, are remote, so I don't need to be with them, and that would just be great. And then I could do what I needed to do to take care of myself physically, and I would like to, I've always wanted to dance. I've never, you know, I'm not a professional dancer, and I've always wanted to learn a sport, and I've never done that. So.
Cool. I think the idea of, like, what you said, the everything they need for their physical well-being is in their cube. I mean, you should write that down. That's brilliant. If you can do that, I think that's awesome. Incredible. I mean, you should, and if you could, like, you know, come up with a plan to where, you know, I want to lose, it's January 1st, and I want to fit to my bikini or whatever, and I need to lose 15 pounds. How could I do that with stuff in my cube? And then, I mean, you could do a webcam with people and help them, you know what I mean, to keep them honest, and you could do a bunch of people a day, like remote training or whatever. I mean, I think if you just came up with a plan for that, and I don't know, you could put that on a blog, or you could find a couple of people at work who are willing to be guinea pigs for you and go through it so they could show results. That would be an awesome project.
Well, thanks. You know, where I'm getting stuck is, like, it's how to make money at it, you know, how to set it up to make money at it, because what has inspired me to do this is several people at work, including my boss, that have said I'd be an excellent personal trainer. And I'm telling you right now, Alan, I'm not personal trainer, like, physically fit. But the reason why they think that is because I began in December training on the stairs, and kind of, and over the months, the weeks, a stair kind of group was created, and they were real enthusiastic about it, and it helped with the stress level of, you know, people losing their job.
Yeah.
Too, and
yeah.
And it just kind of became kind of like a year, like a viral thing, and it planted a seed of, well, what would it look like if I actually packaged this program for corporations? You know, because really what the only reason that they weren't doing it all these years before is that they didn't have a leader. They didn't have somebody that kept them accountable. And then as soon as I stopped keeping them accountable, it fell. You know, when I stopped, everybody else stopped.
Right. Well, so
And we got up to 12 people, and it was called Stair Group, and it just kind of it happened on its own.
Yeah. So, would you do it for free, just for fun, if people wanted to do it?
Sure, because I get my exercise. Basically,
yeah.
I was exercising, and they were following me, and I adjusted my routine to help me. So I did it with weights. And I increased my weight, and then we had starters and, beginning people. It was cute. It really was.
Right.
Was
so
fun.
Well. So what? One of the things that I really want to kind of help people with is that you don't have to have them making the money and doing this thing that you're obviously really passionate about. This. I mean, I think you need to do this because it's a really cool idea, and I think it would help a lot of people. And I think you would get a lot out of just doing this. You'd feel good and you'd learn a lot. So I think this is an awesome, cool project for you to go do. You know, you're about to leave work though, and you've got to, we all have to make money and we all have to have food and everything. So, you know, it might be that you want to go get some job that's just okay or enough wherever you need to do, but then you start doing this, either at night or some other time, and just find a group of people who will do it, even if they don't pay initially, and then just start blogging about it or writing about it. I mean, it's such a great idea. You talk about, oh, we got bought by Wells Fargo, and everybody was all stressed out, and I was just trying to find a way that we're working with people's lives. I mean, that's a terrific story, you know, and if you can then take that and then show that people are getting these results and you can do it, you could lead them, you could even train people to be trainers. I mean, I could see a lot of ways where you could – I'm sure there are a lot of ways you could turn this into something that make – money. I mean, the dieting industry is a $3 billion industry. But I think the main thing is that
yes,
just start
and that really
it,
makes me mad.
Yeah, I know. No, exactly. See, and you're really fired up about that. I think that's fantastic.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
We're right. Exactly. So you got to go with that passion, and don't worry right now. I mean, you have to take care of your income situation for sure. But that's one thing. And then do this thing. Right, and just see where this goes, because you should be doing this. But don't try to make this be your job right now, because you're right. You probably can't make enough money if you're working at the bank and you've been there a long time to go do this and have it pay your way. But maybe you could find something else to do for a while you develop this, and then just see where this goes. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. I'll work on it.
Okay.
Okay.
You just sound like
popped
a bubble somehow.
Yeah,
what's overwhelming though? Yeah, you were excited, and then I said that, and you kind of got flat. What was it that I said?
Well, the whole thing just seems like it just seems a little. There's something about it I'm not committed to.
Okay.
It just seems overwhelming. The website part, creating a website, that doesn't. I don't know.
You're kind of you're really doing something you've done before. You're just talking about it, and you'd have to just find a group of people who are willing to do it with you, even if it was just four or five people.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So one of the things to pay attention to is this thing that a lot of people call resistance, which is that, and it's almost like it's directly proportional to how close something is to that's something that's core to you or that's really important to you, that you're really passionate about, whenever you start to take action on it, there's this voice in your head that says, oh, you're doing something dangerous. You might, you know, you're at risk. And that's just a natural reaction to something that your body is trying to keep you safe from change. And so you might be feeling a little bit of that because you were really excited when you were talking about that. And you clearly are very passionate about that. So sometimes it helps just to break it down and just maybe even just grab a friend and keep doing it. And just commit with one friend that you're going to keep doing this. And just maybe every day take a notes of what ideas you had for other ways people could stay fit in their cubes or something. Just make something really, really small that doesn't feel threatening to your inner resistance. Is that helpful?
Okay.
All right. And if you have questions or whatever, I'm happy to answer emails. So
okay,
along
thank
the
you.
Way. Sure.
Well,
okay, well,
go
ahead.
Well, what do the other people on the line think? Like, you thought it was a great idea, but what do the other people on the line think?
This is Rachel, and I was right with you. I was enthusiastic. I thought, I start coming up with names for it and stuff like that. Like instead of Calinetics, you could do Cubinetics or something. I was incredibly enthusiastic, and I'm very curious about, and I'd love you to kind of take a closer look at where you, because you said, I agree with Alan, you sound totally deflated now, like you were enthusiastic, like, and all of a sudden, I don't know, something in your head said, this is not okay, or I don't know what happened, but something changed.
Yeah.
Like it's too good to be true or something. And you know, it's easy for me to say you shouldn't care what we think. Like you should just follow that energy that you just had. And I think you it's something very good. It's a great idea. But you know, I understand caring about what other people think, but really, I mean, you know it's a good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Elizabeth. I think it's an awesome idea, too. And not to think too far ahead, but I could actually see you as, like, someday being, like, a, you know, a consultant to companies that you'd come in and teach people this, and you'd, you know, maybe have, you know, simple literature you can give to people and that type of thing.
Okay. All right. Okay,
Alan. Yeah, okay, I'll take back over, yeah. So but I think you've got some more feedback from us. I mean, I think the main thing is, just to echo what Rachel says, that, I mean, you care about this. You see how this could help other people, and people are doing stuff that they could do so easily, and you really want them to know that. And so I think you owe that to all the people who need to do that, at least to get that message out there somehow. So, but take care of yourself. I mean, but if there's a way you can just do a little tiny thing of it, you'll start to get some energy around it. So think about that.
Right.
You go
I
think
will.
About that and do that. I think, I definitely think you should pay attention to that. So, okay. Well, we're almost at 6:30, and I said we would only go an hour and a half, but I think this has been great. I've enjoyed helping you guys out. So next week, same time, I'm going to talk about cutting loose the people who say that you can't, embracing a new tribe of believers. And that's about how do we the fact that we, when we do something like this that we really care about, that's a lot different than what we've done before, a lot of times we're going to need support that we don't have right now in our lives. And so I'm going to talk about the forces of kind of the cultures where we work and where we live, so that we can be more aware of them, and then start to talk about how do you go find these people who are going to be rooting you on to success, because that's one common thing that all my avocations people have had as supporters. So I want to tell you one last thing, just kind of inspirational closing, and this is from a story that from an interview I did with a guy named Nick Williams. And Nick lives in London, and he does work similar to what I'm doing. He's a super nice guy, and he's been doing this for a while. And so he was telling about the story of his life, and he had been a salesman for computer systems, and he was telling the story that one day he took some time to walk up. He was really fed up with his job, and he was in London, and he was walking down by the river, and suddenly I heard this voice call out to me. I'm quoting him now. Somebody said to me, "Cheer up, mate." He said, I was obviously looking miserable and happy, but when I turned around, it was a homeless guy telling me to cheer up. And I thought, this guy is living on the streets telling me to cheer up. I'm a guy with a great job, a BMW, a nice apartment, and he's telling me to cheer up. There's something not right here. And, you know, I think sometimes we can get so caught up in what's going on that that we're missing opportunities that are just like little threads that we could follow in our lives and find our way into something great. And that, you know, Nick went on later on to say, he says, you know, one of the things that I talk a lot about is that when we follow our heart, I believe two things happen. One, amazing things happen. Doors open and connections get made. He says, I also think that when we follow our heart, a resistance kicks in. The resistance is all of those inner voices who are our own betrayers who say, well, who do you think you are to do something like this? You know, get back in your box. No one will want to listen to you. And he said, you know, I've been utterly thrilled and probably shocked myself on just how much it has touched people, you know, the work that Nick's done and how many people have related to what I had to write about. He said, I'm a great believer that all of us have great talents and great gifts to share, but most of them never get to see the light of day because our own resistance gets the better of us. So I've talked to Nick before, and he's obviously I interviewed him. I've also kind of kept up with him, and he's the most humble guy. But when you listen to him tell a story, even though he still has those doubts, we all have those doubts that are still there. He just continues to be sort of amazed at how his life is once he started paying attention to where he was being pulled and what he felt like he needed to do, that a whole nother level of kind of things came to help him. It wasn't all himself anymore. So I just want to leave you all with that thought tonight. I'll send out a link to the call and the notes. And if you guys get into this, trying to come up with a project, I would say the homework for this week would be try to just plan out a cool project that you can do. Start with what you got. And if you start doing it, doesn't feel right, feel free to tweak it. And then feel free to email me. I would love to help you with this. And I hope you can come back next week on this. So thanks for coming, and we'll talk to you soon.